retired sea captain Brendan Ford has been recounting some of his ocean-going adventures for us over the last few months. Brendan ran away to sea aged 16 in 1948 and has been all over the world several times. But he also spent a good few years ashore and recounts now life on Dublin's docks when he was a superintendent there for a German-Irish shipping company.
Rising in the ranks and becoming dock superintendent in Dublin Port. In the late 40s, I spent a year on Swedish ships, Ferbris and Runscher, gradually perfecting my Swedish. But in December 1949, I had to leave Runscher because I broke bones in my hand at Casablanca. We carried a cargo of boxed oranges to Rouen in France, and I eventually disembarked at New Haven, England, and headed for home. In 1952, I extended my experience by sailing in the SS Historien of Liverpool to the South Atlantic and to the Indian Ocean, calling at the ports of Luanda and Lobito in Angola in Africa, to Walvis Bay in Southwest Africa, Namibia today, to Cape Town, Port Elizabeth and Durban in South Africa, and to Lorenzo Marques and Beira in Mozambique. On the SS Inventor of Liverpool, I sailed to the West Indies and the Gulf of Mexico, calling to Bridgetown, Barbados, New Orleans, Galveston in Texas, Corpus Christi and Brownsville, Texas, close to the border with Mexico. We carried all types of American manufactured goods and Caribbean produce. I returned to service in the Baltic in September 1953 as an able-bodied seaman on the SS Jura of Glasgow, on which ship I became bosun in December 1954. We brought timber homewards to the UK and Ireland and coal outwards to the Baltic. I completed my studies at the Irish Nautical College, Dunleary, and gained my home trade mate certificate in December 1955. In a very rewarding 8-year period with Irish Shipping Limited, finishing in 1964, I sailed to locations as diverse as Finland, the UK, Algeria, Portugal, Panama Canal and Japan. We also made several voyages to Canada, and from where we brought back sawn timber to Britain and Ireland. I joined Palgrave Murphy of Dublin in May 1962, and began regular runs to Germany, where my knowledge of German proved very useful. I met my future wife, Elke, in Hamburg at this time, and we were married in Hout. My shipping routine involved a fortnightly run to Germany and back to Dublin via Cork. I was 2 years in this trade, during which I got my Master's Ferngum certificate in 1963, served as second mate and then as chief officer. And then, one morning, the gods looked down favourably. I was called to head office. In trepidation at what blunder I might have made, I was met by a 3-man German delegation from the Bugsiger line, Herrn Benike, Jungblut and Spreckels, co-partners of Palgrave Murphy, who spoke in German to me, stating that they wanted a German-speaking dock superintendent to run their operation in Dublin Port, involving a heavy share of German and Scandinavian ships, and a person who was also capable of working closely with the dockers. Would I take the job? Having spent 16 years at sea, now married and starting a family in Dublin, it was an offer I could not refuse. I began in April 1964. Dublin Port was still a large, bustling seaport at that time, crowded with different types of ships from four corners of the world. Alexandra Basin, the coal jetties, North and South Walls were all thronged daily with a mass of people. Casual dockers and permanent button men, stevedores, boatmen, carpenters, welders, coal men, drivers, ship's crew and lookers-on. The air was filled with the clamour of the docks, the rattle of steam winches, clanging pipes and barrels, shunting rail wagons, ship and tugboat whistles, shouting and yelling, accompanied by the odd loud thud from the cargo holds, a bellowing of cattle from the north wall, and the screeching of scavenging seagulls. To a bystander, it seemed like bedlam, but to those familiar with the workings of the port, It was music for the soul. My job was stevedoring, to manage the unloading and loading of ships as efficiently and as harmoniously as possible. Working from the manifest and cargo storage plan supplied by the ship's agent, I would note especially any heavy items, the number of workable areas and the types of cargo handling gear on the ships, whether derricks or cranes. I then estimated the number of hours required to discharge the vessel, the maximum number of gangs of men required, and the number of forklifts needed, whether to use the ship's gear or choose the hiring of Dublin Port and Docks cranes as being more advantageous. We dealt with all kinds of vessels, Swedish and Finnish ships carrying pulp, newsprint reels, timber and telegraph poles, West African traders, mostly under UK, Dutch, Nigerian and Ghanaian flags, laden with sawn timber, redwood logs, bagged cocoa beans, palm oil in the ship's tanks, vessels from Germany carrying tractors, vehicle parts, tanks of lager, refrigerators and other manufactured goods. Russian and Polish vessels were also regular callers, which I occasionally dealt with. The Soviets brought newsprint from Canada, the Poles brought sheet glass and tractors from the Baltic and wool from Australia. Of course there were problems, but they could be overcome. Wet weather, power failures, equipment breakdown and or handling mishaps. Strikes or stoppages were an ever-present hazard, with the dockers looking for hardship money, dirty money, danger money or extra men. However, in industrial matters, I always kept a few principles to the fore, which generally ensured the smooth discharge of ships. Listen carefully, be patient, keep a good sense of humour and never dig in too soon. The daily routine in the docks hinged on what was known as the read each morning, the selection of dockers to work on that day. The read took place in the open at about 8 o'clock at the old harbour master's office at the top of Northwall Quay. A couple of hundred men would assemble for the read, and about 8 stevedoring companies picked their own gangs, myself having set out the number of gangs to be hired. Later the read took place in the new canteen building at Alexandra Basin. Who actually got work fell to the choice of a stevedore's head foreman, but it was a time-honoured system that was to change drastically. Containerisation was coming, and Palgrave Murphy purchased 4 refrigerated containers to be used in their operation in Dublin. This was the moment when containerisation began in Dublin. Containerisation had arrived and was to transform forever not only dockside work practices, but the very Dockland landscape itself.
Brendan Ford.